Shabbos is going to be a Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, so I want to spend a few minutes talking about some issues pertaining to Hallel. Hallel in general, when we talk about the recitation of Hallel on a Yom Tov throughout the year, is a major discussion in the Rishonim whether it's considered to be one of the Taryag Mitzvos or not. So the Bahag, the Yireim, and the Smak all write that the Mitzvah of Hallel on Yom Tov is a Mitzvah D'Oraisa, it's one of the Taryag Mitzvos. And this is something the Ramban adopts as well. In the Ramban's comments on the Sefer HaMitzvos, he says that to recite Hallel on Yom Tov is considered to be an absolute mitzvah midaraisa, like every other mitzvah daraisa that we know. Says the Ramban, which pasuk do we learn this mitzvah from? Nowhere in a pasuk in Chumash does it say you should recite Hallel. But the Ramban learns this is either a halacha l'Moshe miSinai, so it's a tradition that we have from Moshe Rabbeinu, or the mitzvah of Hallel is something that is part of the mitzvah of Simcha. It says, "Yom Simchaschem uvumoadechem," we have an obligation to be misameach. Part of being misameach is that we also recite Hallel. Not only do we play instruments, not only do we bring and offer a korban, but we also recite Hallel as well. This is the opinion of the Ramban. The Rambam famously disagrees, and the Rambam says, no, when we have the obligation to recite Hallel on Pesach, on Shavuos, on Sukkot, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, no, we don't say Hallel, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, but when we say it on Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkot, we assume that is only a din d'Rabbanan, and this is what the Rambam reiterates as well in Hilchos Chanukah when he talks about the halachas of Hallel. He says the mitzvah of Hallel is only midivrei sofrim. It is not a biblical obligation, it is only a rabbinic obligation. So this is the discussion with regard to Hallel on a regular Yom Tov, Hallel on a regular holiday, whether we assume it's d'Oraisa or d'Rabbanan. What about the times of year like Rosh Chodesh? Should we assume that Rosh Chodesh Hallel is the same? Should we assume Rosh Chodesh Hallel might be a little bit different? So this is a very important question. The Gemara says in Erechin on Daf Yud that there are two criterion that are necessary in order for a day to be obligated in reciting Hallel. Number one, says the Gemara, the first criterion you need in order for a day to be obligated in Hallel is that day has to be Ikri Moed. It has to have the title of being a Moed in Chumash. Number two, we assume that it has to be Aser Ba'asiyas Melacha. So number one, let's say you have Shabbos, is Aser Ba'asiyas Melacha. You're not allowed to do Melacha on Shabbos, but Shabbos does not have the title of Moed. Shabbos is just Shabbos. When you have Chol HaMoed, on the other hand, so Chol HaMoed is considered to be somewhere in the middle. Chol HaMoed is Aser Ba'asiyas Melacha somewhat. It's considered Moed. So this is a very interesting question the Gemara has. Which days am I considering part of the count and which not? So the Gemara tells us as follows. There are 18 days in the year in Eretz Yisrael which we are obligated to say Hallel, and those days are the following. Shmonis Yimei Chanukah, the 8 days of Chanukah, Yom Tov Harishon Shel Pesach, Yom Tov Shel Atzeres, Pesach, and Sukkot, the 8 days of Sukkot, and Vagola Chaf Aleph Yom, because in Chutz Laaretz we have a second day of Yom Tov, a Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galus, therefore we have another couple of days. But basically that is it. And the Gemara conveniently leaves out Rosh Chodesh. The Gemara says that Rosh Chodesh does not fit into that list because Rosh Chodesh seemingly is not Aser Ba'asiyas Melacha. Rosh Chodesh is not really fitting into the criterion at all. And therefore the Gemara tells us that in Eretz Yisrael, in the times of the Gemara, they didn't recite Hallel on Rosh Chodesh at all. This was an invention that came later on. It's something that they had the practice to do in Bavel. But in Eretz Yisrael, they never heard of this practice at all. So the Gaonim ask, where did this minute come from? Why did we start to do this? So the Gaonim say, well, maybe we got this idea from the fact that David HaMelech says 12 times in the Hallelujah, he says Hallelujah B'Kadsho, Hallelujah B'Kiyah Uzo, and he says all the different things, and it's 12 there. And he says maybe this is why we mention Kol HaNeshama to Hallelujah twice, because some years you have a Shana Mu'uberah, so you have an extra month, so there's 13 Hallelujahs. So therefore they say maybe that's where we get the idea of reciting Hallel. It seems to be a very shaky place to learn Hallel from, but this is what some of the Gaonim suggest, and the Meiri writes, so where did the practice come from? Why did they decide that Hallel was something that was important to recite in Rosh Chodesh? So the Meiri and other Rishonim write, the reason why is because they wanted to be Mefarsim Shehu Rosh Chodesh. Everybody knows when it's Sukkot that today is the day you have to take the Lulav and the Esrog and you have to do all the mitzvahs. Not everybody knows that on Rosh Chodesh you're supposed to be saying Yalav Yavo. There is not an obvious object on Rosh Chodesh to remind you that today is Rosh Chodesh. So therefore the object of Rosh Chodesh is Hallel. This is the reminder for everybody, that's the code word, that we have to recite Hallel. In general, when it comes to mitzvahs Rabbanan that we perform throughout the year, let's say the mitzvah of lighting Hanukkah candles or the mitzvah of reading the Megillah on Purim or different mitzvahs Midr Rabbanan that we encounter, there's a general question that the Gemara asks in Maseches Shabbos. It's also a Gemara Maseches Sukkah, where the Gemara wants to know, should a bracha be recited on a mitzvah Midr Rabbanan? So the Gemara assumes that we have the right to say a bracha on a mitzvah midrabbanan. And the challenge that the Gemara finds with that is, How can you say vitzivanu? How can you say God commanded us to do this? God did not command us to do this. This is something that was a later invention that was not a part of the original Torah that God himself commanded us to do. So what does it mean, vitzivanu? So the Gemara says, when we say vitzivanu on a mitzvah midirabanan, it means because God commanded us to listen to the Chachamim. The Pasuk says, lo sasser. And therefore, since God commanded us to listen to the Chachamim, this is part of that general commandment. So when we say vitzivanu on lighting the Neres Chanukah, it means God commanded us to listen to the Chachamim, and therefore, by extension, it means he commanded us to light the Chanukah candles and to read the Megillah on Purim and all the mitzvahs midirabanan that should follow. Well, if you take that logic as the Gemara says it, it should indicate that this applies not only to a mitzvah midirabanan, but it should apply to a minhag midirabanan as well. What are the boundaries, what are the guidelines of this Aveira of Lo Sasser? When do we assume that a person is in violation of not listening to the Chachamim? Is that only when the Chachamim institute a mitzvah midirabanan and you choose not to do it? For example, you're in violation of Lo Sasser if you don't light Hanukkah candles, if you don't listen to the Megillah on Purim. Or is it even when you have a practice midirabanan? A minhag midirabanan, is that also going to make you violate the Isser of Lo Sasser? So the Rambam weighs in on the issue, and the Rambam says, this din of Lo Sasser is all-inclusive, it's all-encompassing. It includes a gzeira that the Chachamim made, it includes a takana that the Chachamim made, and it includes the minhago, says the Rambam. Any hanhaga, anything that the Chacham told us to do, we are bound by the mitzvah of Lo Sasser, and if we choose not to listen to that edict of the Chachamim, we are in violation of the lav of Lo Sasser. Well, that would seem to follow that over here, by Halal Am Rosh Chodesh, we should recite a bracha. Because the whole rationale for reciting a bracha on a mitzvah midirabanan is because if you don't fulfill the mitzvah, you're going to violate Lo Sasser, so you can say vitzivanu. Over here, where you have a practice, a minhag midirabanan, since that's also a part of the general category of Lo Sasser, if you don't listen to the minhag of the Chacham, you're violating their halacha as well, well then that should reason that you should also recite a bracha on a minhag as well. So we really should have recited a bracha on Halal of Rosh Chodesh, the same way we recite a bracha on any mitzvah midirabanan as well. However, the Rambam disagrees. The Rambam says, based on a Gemara Maseches Sukkah, just 1 minute please, the Rambam writes in a Gemara Maseches Sukkah that no, even though you're in violation of Lo Sasser, the Rambam still says, when you're only performing a minhag midirabanan, such as the minhag of Halel, which was not an absolute takana midirabanan, it was just a practice that came along later on in history. So there, says the Rambam, we do not recite a bracha. The only time you recite a bracha is on a mitzvah midirabanan, but not on a minhag midirabanan. That's what the Rambam argues. Other Rishonim agree with him as well. But this is very strongly disagreed upon by Rabbeinu Tam. The Baalei HaTosfos say, no, what do you mean? The same way we would make a bracha on lighting the Chanukah candles, the same way we recite a bracha when you go ahead and lane the Megillah on Purim, so do you recite a bracha when we have the opportunity to recite Halal on Rosh Chodesh, because it's something that the Chachamim instituted, although it's only a minhag, it's not the same status as a real institution midirabanan, but it is something that they practice, and it's something that they did, and therefore, the Baalei HaTosfos say that a bracha should be recited on that as well. How do we paskin with regard to this? So, as we know, the Ashkenazim have the practice like the Ramah says. The Ramah follows the line of reasoning which is quoted in the Baalei HaTosfos, which is that we recite a bracha on Halal on Rosh Chodesh, the same way we recite a bracha on any other mitzvah midirabanan that we perform. We light Neres Chanukah, we make a bracha. Therefore, when we light, when we lay in the Megillah on Purim, we make a bracha. And so too, when we have the opportunity to say Halal Rosh Chodesh, we recite a bracha as well. However, the Shulchan Aruch is not so convinced. The Shulchan Aruch himself, which is what the Sfardim practice, the Shulchan Aruch is not convinced at all of this. The Shulchan Aruch says, well, if a person is saying Halal on their own, they certainly shouldn't make a bracha. If they're saying it in the context of a tzibur together with everybody else, maybe they should, maybe they shouldn't. He's not exactly sure, and he writes that the practice in Eretz Yisrael was to follow the Rambam, not to recite a bracha on Halal on Rosh Chodesh, because after all, it's not a real institution, it's only a minhag midirabanan. So this is a very important line of disagreement between the Sfardim and Ashkenazim. If one is a Sfardi and they usually follow the Psakim of the Shulchan Aruch, one should not recite a bracha on Halal of Rosh Chodesh. If one is an Ashkenazi and they generally follow the Psakim of the Ramah, then a bracha on Halal of Rosh Chodesh should be recited, because this is the same as any other din derabanan that we perform throughout the year. So when it gets complicated, it is as follows. Let's say we daven in a shul, and we have Svardim and Ashkenazim davening in the same shul. So over here, it doesn't happen that often, because we have Svardish shuls that are options for the Svardim to daven in their own nusach. But what if you have a community where you only have one shul? It's a community shul, and everybody davens together, all the different kinds of Jews daven together. So there, you sometimes have a Sephardi who will get up to daven for the Yom HaDar Rosh Chodesh. So the question is, he gets up to daven for the Yom HaDar Rosh Chodesh, then he gets to Hallel, he says, what should I do? Everybody in the shul who's Ashkenazim is supposed to recite a bracha. I'm Shliach Tzibur Chazen, but my practice is that I don't recite a bracha. So how can I be the Shliach Tzibur, how can I be the Chazen and not recite a bracha? After all, that's not fair to everybody else, but how can I yes recite a bracha? Because, after all, my practice is that I don't. So this is a shaila that was discussed by the Chida. He says, what does a Sfardi do who has the practice not to recite a bracha on Hallel of Rosh Chodesh, and yet he's the Chazen in a community where they have the practice that they do? So says the Chida, that would not be a bracha levatala for the Sfardi to make a bracha in an Ashkenazi shul. So the Sfardi is able to be the Chazen on that day, there's nothing wrong at all, and the Chida brings a proof to this from a Gemara in Psachim. The Gemara says in Maseches Psachim that on Shabbos morning we recite a Kiddush that we call Kiddusha Rabbah. What does Kiddusha Rabbah mean? The big Kiddush, the great Kiddush? So the Gemara really means to say it's a euphemism, that we don't say anything Shabbos morning, we just say Baruch Piyagofen and that's good enough. So the Gemara doesn't want to call it the nothing Kiddush, so the Gemara calls it the great Kiddush. Instead of calling it the Kiddush, that's just very simple, bare bones Kiddush, the Gemara says that's the Kiddusha Rabbah. So the Gemara says a story that Rav Ashi once went to a community, and he gets there on Shabbos morning, they say to him, well, you're the guest, please honor us with saying Kiddusha Rabbah. So he says, I never heard of Kiddusha Rabbah, I don't know what it is. So he was embarrassed, he didn't want to say anything, so he gets up and he makes a Baruch Pri Agafen, and then he looks around, he looks to his right, he looks to his left, he wants to see, is anyone expecting me to say anything more than what I just said? So Rav Ashi notices that there was an old man at the table, that he took a sip after he made the Baruch Pri Agafen. He says, I guess that's all the Kiddush is. Kiddusha Rabbah just means it's the nothing Kiddush, you just make a Baruch Pri Agafen. So he stopped there and he didn't continue to say anything else. So the Rishonim there say, and what would he have done if he saw people were giving him dirty looks? What was he planning to do? In his community, he just made a Baruch Pri Agafen Shabbos morning and he stopped. Now he comes to a new town, they say, oh, we're mechabed you with Kiddusha Rabbah. He doesn't know what it is. So he starts to say Kiddush and then he looks around and he's trying to see, is anybody going to inform me that I should say anything more? If you're going to say anything more, it's a bracha levatala. You don't believe in this practice. So Rav Ashi, obviously, what you see from the Gemara is Rav Ashi was prepared to say something more, even though he himself felt it was the wrong thing to do. But since he was in a community where they had the practice to say more for the Kiddush, another bracha, he was prepared to do that. So this is what the Chida proves, and he says the same would apply here. If you're davening in a shul, where the overwhelming majority of the people recite a bracha on Hallel of Rosh Chodesh, and they have a lot to rely upon. That's the Ramaz Psak, that's the Bali Atosis. Again, it might not be your Psak that you follow. You happen to be a Sfardi who doesn't make a bracha on Rosh Chodesh, but since you're davening in that shul, that would not be considered a bracha levatala at all. If you're the one who's the Shliach Tzibur, you're allowed to make a bracha with them. Take for another example, there's a discrepancy in Minhagim about Baruch Hashem Liolam. So in Eretz Yisrael, we know that many shuls do not recite Baruch Hashem Liolam at Maariv before Shmona Esrei, after Hashkivenu. And here in America, many shuls do. So the question is, what if you have someone from Eretz Yisrael who has Yartzeit, he comes to a shul here, he's visiting, and he gets up to that paragraph, he doesn't know what he should do. He sees everybody around him is saying Baruch Hashem Liolam, and he's not going to say it. So there again, the Achronim say that even if you have the practice to leave that out, when you're davening in a shul where the practice is that they say it, you should say it along with them, because that is not considered to be a Baruch Levatela if you're the chazen on the behalf of the people who are davening in that shul. And finally, we have another example of this, let's say on Pesach night. Also a discussion in the Mechaber and the Ramah. Should we assume that on Pesach night, Hallel should be recited with a bracha in shul? Or do you assume that there's no reason to say Hallel in shul after davening before you go home? So this is also a major discussion, what the minhag should be, what the minhag shouldn't be. So the question is, what if I have a beautiful voice and they ask me to daven for the Yamah the first night of Pesach, the Kavod Yantiv, and it happens to be my family's practice is not to recite Hallel after davening on the first night of Pesach, and the shul's practice is that we do. So there again, the Achronim say, there's nothing wrong. That's not a bracha levatala at all. For you to make the bracha on behalf of the tzibur is not a problem at all. That would be something that would be acceptable, even though it's not your personal practice. One final point is something that is relevant. Every so often you have people who come to shul on Rosh Chodesh, not when Rosh Chodesh is on Shabbos, but when Rosh Chodesh is during the week, and they're in a big rush. They have to get to work, and they don't have enough time to stay for the entire duration of davening. So you have somebody who comes to shul, and let's say they're going to daven Shachris, and they're going to finish Shmona Esrei, and then they run out, and they decide they'll finish the Hallel and Musaf later on their own, b'yichidus, because they don't have time. So the question is that acceptable or not? Should we assume that Hallel has to be said immediately following the Shmona Esrei, or can you say no, Hallel can be said at any point during the day, even if it's not connected to your Shmona Esrei. So what's surprising is the Tosefta has a line that says, "Ha'tfila v'ha'halel me'akvin ze ezeh." The Tosefta writes that the Tfila and the Halel are ma'akev each other. If you don't say one right after the other, you have not fulfilled your obligation. So to speak, that on every other day of the year, you have an obligation to daven Shacharis with Shmona Esrei. And on Rosh Chodesh or on Yom Tov, you have an obligation to daven a hyphenated Shmona Esrei, which is Shmona Esrei plus Halel. If you don't have the Halel, you're not Yotzei anything. That's what the Tosefta writes, and some Achronim take that very literally, to mean Halel must be recited in the shul right after you finish saying Shmona Esrei, and if you got to go to work, then you should just forget about the whole davening with the minyan altogether. You may as well daven everything at one point instead of splitting up the Halel from the Shmona Esrei. The Or Sameach finds this to be very troubling. The Or Sameach says that cannot be the pshat, that cannot be true, because after all, the Gemara tells us that Halel is allowed to be recited kol hayom kulo. You're allowed to recite Halel the whole duration of the day. On the other hand, Shacharis and Shmona Esrei can only be recited for a limited period of time during the day. Once the Zman of Shacharis is over, you're not allowed to daven Shacharis anymore. Once the Zman of Shacharis is over, if you realize you haven't said Halel yet, you are allowed to say Halel. So this Tosefta cannot be understood at its very face value, because we know that Halel is not connected at all with Shmona Esrei. Halel happens to be said on Yom Tov and on Rosh Chodesh, but it's not something that's intrinsically connected to the Shmona Esrei at all. And therefore, the Or Sameach suggests what the Tosefta might mean when it says that Hatfila b'ha'halal ma'akman ze'ezeh just means the way that you daven every day of the year is that you have to offer a prayer, a bakasha, a tfila, and you also have to offer a halal. You also have to say psuka de zimra. You have to say a lead up to the Shmona Esrei as well. That's what the Tosefta means, Hatfila b'ha'halal ma'akman ze'ezeh, that one always has to incorporate within the tfila not only a bakasha, not only something that they want, but also a halal, some sort of praise for the Ribbono Shel Olam himself, but we generally assume that Halel is not really connected intrinsically with the Shmona Esrei that we daven. Yeah.